che vodo male ola, che vodo male ola, che vodo male ola, ne shane sa shayalim ze laze, che vodo male ola, che vodo male ola, che vodo male ola, me shane sa shayalim ze laze. Welcome everybody. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I know there's so much going on, so many things to take care of, but this is also just a very important evening for us, as tonight we're learning for the Refuah Shleima of someone so dear to us, Rabbi Chaim Kramer, the founder of Breslev Research Institute, who needs our tefillas. It's in the hospital in Yerushalayim right now. So the shiur is for the Refuah Shleima of Chaim Menachem Ben Leah. And the Kramer family actually asked that if you want to do something for Reb Chaim, sing a nigun, clap your hands, and dance, dance, dance. So those of you that are on Zoom, give us your camera, see your Shane upon him. This is a nigun that Chaim and he loves. And we just sang it in our sukkah, this past sukkahs. Okay, gotta pretend that we're all in the same room, Chevra. That's right. Dance, I wanna see you clapping. Let's go. Okay, so tonight we're going to be learning a very important yisod, a very important principle in the teachings of Rabbi Nachman Bichlal, but Bifrat, specifically in regards to a very important decision we all have to make. Masha Tzim Lasot, what we got to do is something that's so hard. I'm not going to lie, not simple. But almost everyone that I know suffers from OTA. You guys know what OTA is, right? Overthinkers Anonymous. Maybe Nachman's gonna help us chuck out the chatterbox, because that's how we were able to leave Mitzrayim. Any avoda we have to do right now on spiritual planes is going to be with the help tonight of Rabbi Nachman. So this is a beautiful nigun that we sing whenever we're in Breslev. This was a song written by a very special Breslev chassid named Yisrael Dagan. It's the words of Reb Nassim himself. After he spent one Friday night with Rabbi Nachman, couldn't believe what his ears were hearing, couldn't believe what his body was feeling, the fire, the passion, the dveikus. So the story is that he went around Breslov that night, and he basically said the following words. He said, in Breslov burns a fire, Hashem is barach. Please burn it in my heart. Breslev boy and eh Avero ta belibi Breslev boy and eh Avero ta belibi Breslev boy and There's a person that we know in our door that we're close to that's brought the fire of Rabbi Nachman all over the world. To our dear friend Reb Chaim Kramer, Chaim Menachem ben Leah, in Breslev burns a fire. Burn it in my heart. In Breslev, there's a fire. Burn it in my heart. In Breslev, there's a fire. Burn it in my heart. In Breslev, there's a fire. Burn it in my heart. Burn it in my heart. Oh, burn it in my heart. Breslev boy, havero ta belibi. Oh, Breslev boy, havero ta belibi. The Breslev boy is a vero ta belibi. The Breslev boy is a vero ta belibi. Oh, a vero ta belibi. Avero ta belimi. Breslev boed eish. Avero ta belimi. Breslev boed eish. Avero ta belimi. Be Breslev, boy and age, boy and age, havero ta belimi. Be Breslev, boy and age, havero ta belimi. Oh, havero ta belimi. In Breslev, there's a fire, burning in my heart. In Breslev, there's a fire, burning in my heart. In Breslev, there's a fire, burning in my heart. In Breslev, there's a fire. burn it in my heart. So please have the name Chaim Menachem Ben Leah in the front of your heart and of your mind and of your soul for this shiur that we're going to be learning right now. Chavra, let's face it. Let's face it. We've heard already all these words, all these two minute videos telling us there's never been a Pesach like this before, and there's all this pressure to now I'm supposed to feel something so deep because this never happened before, such a Pesach like this. But to someone else that's also alive right now inside of us and be like, okay, what am I supposed to feel? What am I supposed to feel? Well, in order to begin to answer that question, tonight we're prefacing by saying we're learning the Torah of choosing not to think. I think, sometimes I have a really hard time choosing a topic for the title for a shiur. And tonight it could have gone a lot of different ways, but I think that if we say that tonight we're going to learn how to choose to not think too much, that'll probably be the closest to where we're going. In order to understand Rabbi Nachman tonight, we're going to be using the help of two rabbis, one who passed away in the year 1901 and one who passed away in the year 1994. But let's start with the one who passed away in 1901. We're going to learn the first paragraph of one of my favorite svarim called Tzidkas HaTzadik. Tzidkas HaTzadik was written by Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Rabbi Tzadok Rabinowitz was his name. And he was a top pupil of the Me'ashiloach, of the Ishbitzer. And Reb Tzadok was a Gaon Charif, was simply a genius, a frightening genius. His mind was something else. And Reb Tzadok has many different books. And one of the books, one of the svarim that Reb Tzadok HaKohen has, actually, it's so far out, it's called Sichos Malachi Asharis, meaning it was basically him documenting the conversations that angels have, Resise Laila, all the different things that happened to him in his dreams. And of course, there's the famous Pri Tzadik, which is his parish on the Torah and on Chagim. And there's also the Dover Misharim, Machshev Escharutz, there are tons of them. But Tzidkat HaTzadik is a very, very important sefer. I've been threatening my chevra for a long time already that we're going to start learning it, and we haven't yet. So maybe this is a good start because it's the first piece. Anyway, buckle up, chevra. Sit tight, not too tight, because you're going to have to start walking. Actually, you're going to have to start running shortly. Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, "How do you start?" Reshit knisat ha'adam la'avodat Hashem tzarich liyot bechipazon. When you first start off serving God, that doesn't mean becoming religious. I want to be very clear. I want to write my thesis on the difference between becoming religious and serving God. I know many of you would like to contribute to that. We're not talking about becoming religious. The beginning entrance into serving Hashem, to serving the master of the world, where my life becomes a life of commitment to getting to know the love of my heart, the master of the world, must be b'chipazon. It's got to be in haste. It's got to be fast. Rav Tzadok says, where do we learn that this has to be like this? Kmo shematzinu b'pesach mitzrayim sh'ayah ne'achal b'chipazon. Just like the reason that you and I are going to sit down to eat matzah in 2 nights and not bread. Why is it that we have matzah? Because we ran out of Egypt. We began to be avdei hamakom, servants of Hashem, instead of servants of a foreign king. So if that's how Pesach happened, at the beginning of Avodat Hashem happened in haste, we ran out of there. Reb Tzadok says, so too, when you're tasting, when you get that taste of this is who I want to be with, this is the world I want, this world of Yiddishkeit, you got to do it fast. כמו שמוצאים בפסח מצרים, שאני אכל בחיפזון ולא פסח דורות. But not later on. Later on, it wasn't like that. But the first Pesach, it was like that. Why? And this is so important. Because you and I have a lot of good ritzonot. We have a lot of good wills that we want to take on. We want to be into it. We want to be full in. We want to be committed. But there's something that holds me back. Mipnei she'ahatchala lenatek atzmo mikol ta'avat olam hazeh shehu mekushar bahem. Because what you really have to do in the beginning is to detach yourself, is to disconnect yourself from all lusts of this world that you find yourself connected with and unable to detach from. Tzarich lishmar harega, you got to guard the moment, Reb Tzadok HaKohen says. Shemitorer b'ratzon Hashem. You have this moment where you could sense the ratzon of Hashem, the will of God is coming out, stemming from within. You got to guard the moment. Ulachfoz, you got to run with it. Aloto rega, lemaher latzet mehem. But this is your chance out. Why? Ulay yuchal, maybe you can. Ve'achar kach shuv yelech b'metinut u'le'at k'din pesach dorot. Later, after you're out of where you had to get out of, okay, then go slowly, slowly. That's fine. You don't have to rush. But to get out of Egypt is not this, I don't know. Okay, I'm feeling it, but I'll do it slowly. Like Reb Tzadok is telling us, on the path towards Hashem, there's two main things. There's Yetziat Mitzrayim, and then there's the journey. The journey doesn't begin until you're out of Mitzrayim. So to leave Mitzrayim must be, Reb Tzadok is saying, immediately, the second that you feel it, the second you get that hitlavut, that enthusiasm, you got to get out. Later, go slowly, slowly. But why, Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, why? Why should you have to do this so fast? Because the beginning is always the hardest. And you got to jump in the beginning. En ma la'asot, you got to jump. Any of us that have had to really make those conscious changes in life, and I'm not just talking about Baalei Tshuva, those people that weren't born in the world of serving God. I'm talking about anyone, Hasidim, FFBs, modern Orth, anyone. Once it's this click in the mind of like, this is really what I'm all about, you jump. Pesach Mitzrayim. That's how you left. That's how you left Mitzrayim. That's how you're going to leave right now. So, Reb Tzadok paves the way for us to now understand Rabbi Nachman. But tonight, we're going to be learning Rabbi Nachman through a very, very beautiful piece of Torah from Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach. This is a teaching that I transcribed, I think like 10 years ago. I think I tried learning it at least 4 or 5 times over the years. And every year while I'm learning it, I say to myself, what was I thinking? That may happen again tonight. Could be. But tonight, I have to give it a shot. It's just too deep not to. So if my holy brother, Reb Shimon, can make the text bigger for everyone, that would be really swell and really sweet. And time l'chaim. And we keep on having in mind Chaim Menachem ben Leah. I'm going to do a better job sending in the text next time. Okay, this is good. This is good. Yofi, thank you. And even if you can't, not a little bit less. And even if you can't see it that perfectly, it's very easy English. Just listen really closely. Open your heart and listen. Reb Shlomo says like this. I need it to be a little bit smaller though. Okay, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, Chevre. Chevre, once again, a big yisher koach to Shimon. Shlomo says like this, everyone wants to be free, but how do I start believing that I could become free? How do I get my mind out of Egypt? What a great question. I mean, have you met someone that has said, this problem is not really my issue? I have other issues, but I'm a free person and my mind is out of Mitzrayim. I never think small. I never think narrow-minded and I'm not really stuck to anything that much. I'm basically free. I have other stuff like money issues, other kind of types. Every one of us comes Pesach and we're begging God, may this be the year. May this be the year that I taste freedom. May this be the year that I taste what it means, b'chol dor v'dor, chayav adam lir'ot et atzmo ke'ilu hu yatza mitzrayim, that when I come to the Haggadah this year, and I say those words, that this is the year I have to feel like I'm leaving, that I should finally just feel it. Everyone has that. Everyone feels that. It's not a person in the world that's like, ah, Mitzrayim, not my bag. Maybe Yavan. Maybe Greece is more my bag. No, Mitzrayim is, even though we're out, the Mitzrayim has its paws in us, like in a very weird way. It's all machshava. It's all mentally. That's why it's so scary. Because you can live in the most glorious, glamorous house with a very non-demanding lifestyle, and you can be chained like it's no one's business. How did the great poet Robert Nesta Marley say? I'm going to forget it. This morning I woke up in a curfew. Oh Lord, I was a prisoner too. There were shackles on my feet. I forgot what it is. Sorry. But the point is that people can be free and be in jail. So this concept of Egypt is so chazak. Then you have certain people that they're free people. It's very rare. It's very, very rare. But it exists. And that's what we're trying to get to tonight. Mentally speaking, as much as we can to get out of the place in our mind that just boggles us down all the time. And there's a technique for tonight. There's like a lemaisa. So listen to this. The Zohar Kodosh says that a baby does not know whom their mother or father are until it eats bread. That's what the Zohar says. That a baby only identifies a person that's feeding them as father or mother once bread is in its system. I know some might not agree with it because every mother wants to feel like, of course my baby knows who its ima is. And of course a father would love to feel like that. But according to the Zohar, the real recognition that a baby has towards its parent becomes evident and clear to the baby once bread is digested in its system. That means that bread gives strength to my mind to be connected to those who love me. That's the job of what seems, that's what bread does. Only after I eat bread do I know what life is all about. Do I know who my mother and father are? Now listen to something even deeper. So that was bread. That was chametz. Now let's go to matzah. What does matzah give me koyach for? Matzah gives me my mind strength too, but it's working from another side. Eating matzah gives me strength to be connected to myself and to all who are important to me, but this connection is done without thinking about it. Okay, so let's go shlav by shlav. Bread instills within me koach, strength in my mind, to think clearly and identify who my parents are. Matzah gives me koyach to also identify love and closeness, but by the hafuch, by the opposite way. Not by thinking about something, it gives me koyach to turn off my mind from all the things that are interfering. And my level of awareness and da'at is working much more on a subconscious level than a conscious level. Now, what's the difference between the two? And what's deeper? What's deeper? Something I know because I thought it through and I had koach to think something through and thus I came to this awareness of who's in front of me? Or is it those things that I know so deep inside but the world doesn't give me strength to believe enough in that which I know subconsciously? It's a good question. It seems, of course, the latter. Let's see what he says. How so, Rav Shlomo asks, how could this connection be done without thinking about it? How do I stay connected to something, dafka, without thinking about it? Usually when I say I'm connected to something or to someone, it's because they're in my thoughts, it's what I'm thinking about. And here he's saying, matzah gives you koach to do the exact opposite, to be connected without thinking about it. So Rav Nachman says, that there are two kinds of minds, two kinds of intellects, two kinds of mochin. Reb Shlomo says that's how Rabbi Nachman is speaking this. There are two types of mochin. There's a mochin of avdus and there's a mochin of bnei chorin, that there's a slave mind and a free mind. So he says that a slave mind always has 10,000 excuses to not get out of something. Everybody's drowning in something. And Egypt, Mitzrayim, is all about getting out of what you're drowned in. Everyone's tied to something, chained to something. We need to have serious compassion on our souls to just get out of it. And I want to be clear about something to the extent that I understand this, which is very, very limited, but I'll do my best. Reb Shlomo, in the name of Reb Nachman, is not only referring to things that are bad. Everyone, a slave has 10,000 excuses not to get out of something. It could be, you could be a slave to holiness. You could be a slave to godliness in the wrong way. The point over here is what he's saying over here is that a free person does not experience godliness with a slave mentality. He experiences it with as a free person's mentality, which is very different, which we're going to try to decipher and figure out tonight what that really means. But everyone is tied to something. Everyone has this Mitzrayim. And Reb Shlomo says, that's what a slave, so someone just said, a slave to Minyanim. So this is Mamish, the Torah of Reb Moshe Weinberger, of my Rebbe now, that he's been saying this Yomam V'Laila, that the Avodah today, that people can't, Hashem had to show them, you've become slave to Minyanim. You're not choosing to be Avdei Hashem, but I can't wait to go to Minyan. You're so committed, but in coming from the wrong way with a slave mentality. Remember, I told you this story so many times, the beautiful story of when Reb Shlomo was a little kid, his father used to take him to the resort where they used to go in the summer. Was it Marimbad? I think it was Marimbad. And one time they when they were there, they bumped into the Telzerov. Reb Naftali Karbach was a good friend of the Telzerov. And Reb Naftali Karbach, Olav Hashalom, asked the Telzerov, said, Telzerov, Heiliger Rebbe. Well, he probably said Heiliger Rav. I don't know if he said Heiliger Rebbe. He said Heiliger Rav. And what's the Rav doing now that he's on, you know, that he's here on vacation? So the Rav said to him, I'm learning 14 hours a day. No one's bothering me here. You see, a Yid, when he has freedom, he becomes free to learn, not free from learning. A slave mind is freedom means now I could do all the things I don't have to usually do. So we see over here that Mitzrayim, a slave mind, is not like we think about. A slave mind is something so much deeper. That's a slave mind. Reb Shlomo continues and he says, we all go through the plagues, witnessing tremendous miracles, and yet so many of us still stay in Egypt. To really leave the things you're tied to leave all the things you had excuses for, is the greatest test in the world. And let's just give a very clear example of what we're talking about. Every person reaches this at a certain age. If only my mother was so-and-so to me. If only my father was so-and-so to me. If only my Rebbe didn't do this thing when I was younger. And all the if-onlys are all true. And they're all legitimate. But mazel tov, so they're legitimate. And where you left? So you legitimately excused yourself from not getting out of Mitzrayim. Great. Do you feel better? No, because you're still in Egypt. So that's why he says that to really leave these things that you're tied to leave all the things you had excuses for, is absolutely the greatest test in the world. Everyone talks about how beautiful it would be if they could set themselves free from whatever is holding them back. But unfortunately, like we all know, most people can't let go. So now we're going to get to the how, which is the question we always want when we're learning Torah. It's great to learn theories, but everyone really would love to know, okay, Lemaisa, I learned a great teaching. How do I implement it? How do I do this? So Reb Shlomo says like this, this is absolutely in Lumdus, you would say Maradik, which means it's, I'm going to leave it to Yeshivish language. It's awesome. So Reb Shlomo says, so how do you get out of Egypt? What did Reb Tzadok HaKohen say to us? Bechipazon, which means you got to get out fast. How do you run out of Egypt? So Nachman says something unbelievably deep. He asks, how fast can a person walk while they're thinking? So if you, I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you've ever tried to jog or run and you have a lot of thoughts on your mind, you can't run. The thinking keeps you slowly, slow pace. How fast can I walk while I'm thinking? Very, very slow. When you're talking to someone and you're engrossed in conversation, you walk very slowly. But if you want to run, you have to stop thinking. I've tried this a few times. It's mamash, the absolute pshat. It's exactly what happens. It's exactly what happens. Literally, when you want to run, like literally running, you can't. Like I have this, it's been a few weeks now, but I have, because of this whole mishigas that we're in, but I have this great treat where there's a chaver of mine that has like a little mini gym in his house. And I get to go there and there's no one there. And there's a great, what's it called that I like? Elliptical. Elliptical? Elliptical. You go on the elliptical. And there's a screen in front of her. And I watch my NBA highlights on it. It's great. I don't want to think too much. But I notice something. Even when I'm watching that, which is completely unimportant, but I'm trying to go fast, I'm watching something, I can't think about what I'm seeing too much. I can't absorb the information that's coming inside unless I slow down. For exactly this reason, because to get out of something fast, you can't do it if your mind is cluttered with thoughts. Try this on any level. This happens all the time. So now we understand a little bit about the basic reason behind matzah. Let's look at the next page. Okay, this is matzah. Everyone needs something to hold on to. Everybody has something little they hold on to. What's the utmost that we're holding on to? We usually hold on to a little piece of bread because at the end of the day, everybody really needs bread. Okay, so, you know, the basic minimum that a person would need to survive if he had to imagine it, he would say, I need a, like we say, a prosat lechem. I just need a piece of bread. It's like the basic thing. It's the basic of what we need. And here, what are we saying? Look at the second line. The holiness of leaving Egypt is that we walked out of Egypt even without bread, meaning we were so big. We were so big-minded that we were even willing to leave without that which was like most essential to our sustenance, to our existence, to our self-being in this world. I left even without that. We walked out into the desert and we had nothing to hold on to. I mean, I'd love to, I'm sure we all feel like heroes that we're, you know, getting through this quarantine and everything, but it's a little bit hard to compare it to like Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're in our homes, we live in a time and an age where, you know, more or less we have our basic needs, and if we don't, there's a neighbor or there's a makola that I could call and there's a market I can get things shipped. You have to understand, we left Mitzrayim, we left with nothing, but the point is that we left even without the essential of essentials, or at least what I thought is the essential of essentials. But Reb Shlomo says like this, do you know how strong my mind has to be in order to leave that place of minimum comfort? I can leave my job and get another job. I can leave one little habit and have another little habit. Everybody needs something small to hold on to. But here, I come out of Egypt, I come out of Mitzrayim, and I'm not taking anything with me. This is absolute freedom. But, and this, isn't this sound great? Wouldn't you love this? There's one key though, this is the kicker. This is the prerequisite. What we just described, you got to do it fast. This has to be done super, super fast. It has to be that night, because if I wait more than that night, it's God forbid too late. This is exactly what Reb Tzedek was referring to when we opened this piece tonight. If it's not that night, you know how many times like, I don't know how easy it will be for you to now track back in your mind, because some of us block these moments out. But you know, those times we have these enlightenments and we have these moments of clarity. And for whatever reason is, we justified staying in our little Egypt. And then we said, but tomorrow I could do it better. So I went to Reb Shlomo and said, that's why we say, Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem, Nagila Venismachava. That real Gila and Simcha, real Simcha takes place when you celebrate today. When you celebrate, when you act upon what you experience today. So Reb Shlomo says, though, but in order to activate that place of jumping, my mind has to come to an amazing decision. What decision is that? Shut off. Lights off, when really it's lights on. But it's lights off in terms of the chatterbox. Because if I'm thinking too much, I can't get out. So Reb Nachman says like this, listen to this. So Reb Nachman says that the greatest cleverness is to be able to not think. To be clever enough to choose to stop thinking. By the way, this would be the greatest, greatest medicine for insomnia. It's very hard. It'd be amazing if we could do this easier, but it boils down to this. Therefore, Reb Nachman says that Pesach is the celebration of emunah, is the celebration of believing. Matzah is called mechla de mehemenus. Matzah is called the bread of believing because it takes a lot of believing to believe that what I have to do right now is to actually stop thinking. It's as if, like, usually we're trained to think that if I'm not processing, I better beware. Something's going to come and kill me. If I'm not thinking things too thoroughly, then my guard is down. But it takes emunah to believe that the Ribbono Shel'olam wants me to get out of certain places. And Hashem Yisbarach Baruch wants me to get out of certain places. How do I do that? By stopping to think. I have to. And that's how Reb Nachman is talking about. That's why matzah is called the matzah of emunah. Because I look at this piece of bread. I look at this cracker, whatever it is in front of me. And I see this is something that I pulled out really fast. It didn't rise. Well, and I would generally think that, like, you know, this wouldn't satiate me. This wouldn't be good for me. I don't need, this was not what I want. It's not going to be good for me. It's not what I really, really want. But I see, even with matzah, I've never, ever, especially, you know, I grew up going to every program you can imagine. All these Pesach programs everywhere in the world, literally since I'm a baby. Acapulco, Florida, San Diego, Palm Springs, Arizona, all over Israel, you name it. I've never, ever saw someone that on Pesach was hungry. Just didn't happen. But it's amazing. Before the story of Pesach, if you tell me that through not eating chametz, I'd be satiated, you'd say, you're crazy. There's not a chance in the world. But I need to implement the emunah. Matzah is the bread of emunah to show me I chose to run out of Egypt because I knew I couldn't. If I'd stay there one more second, I'd be toast. Go to those things in my life, those areas in my life that for years I was so close to leave. I eat matzah on Pesach because it gives me the koyach to do what my forefathers, my foremothers did back then. They jumped, they ran. They didn't think too much. That's what matzah resembles. This is the greatest freedom in the world, Reb Shlomo says. And, you know, whenever I think of learning teachings about freedom, you want to learn it from people that were free. That's why when you learn a teaching from Rav Kook about Chirut, about Pesach, it's like, this Rav Kook was a free person. I'm sure he struggled with certain things, but he was really like a free person. Reb Shlomo was a free person. He was free. So you want to learn Torah about freedom from people that know what they're talking about. So he ends off here and he says, you know what a slave is? A slave is not a bad person. In fact, a slave can serve God as well, get married and have children. The problem is you can't run anywhere. Freedom means there are absolutely no boundaries. Ein gvulot. So like Yaakov Avinu says, he gets a nachala bli meitzarim. No gvulot. Not the past, not the present, not the future. Nothing in the world. Now he ends off here and says like this, and Chevra, this is our bracha to everyone that's learning with us tonight, and really also those that aren't learning with us tonight, whoever is here with us. Et asher yeshno po, et asher einenu po, imanu ayom. And this again is for the refuah of Reb Chaim Kramer, Chaim Menachem ben Lea, betoch shar kol chole am Yisrael, bekol ha'olam kulo. Shlomo says like this, the two greatest God revelations in the world are the night of Seder and Matan Torah and Shavuos. On Shavuos, we stood on Mount Sinai and God gave us the Torah. And God told us what we have to do. That was Shavuot. But this is not the beginning. The beginning is Pesach. Pesach is when it's clear, the beginning is Pesach when it's clear to me that there is nothing I cannot do. That is the big, that's our beginning. You'd think Shavuos would have to be the beginning. It's when I'm told what to do. We start from somewhere else. We start from a place that says, no. You start off by a completely different place. You start off from a place of really understanding that we are more, we are absolutely more than whatever our conscious mind always tells us. And it's therefore very, very important that I have to remember that I'm not my mind. Yeah. Every psychology book tells you that now. Every New Age book tells you that now. I have to stop my mind. And that's why Reb Nachman said before that matzah is called the matzah of emunah, because I have to believe that that's what I need to be doing right now. I actually have to have emunah. That which usually makes me think that I'm functioning normally, that has to end. But Reb Nachman also says that matzah, he refers to it as what Chazal called lechem oni, which is the bread of poverty. So Reb Shlomo had taught in the name of Reb Nachman that means, like the Gemara says, ein ani ela bedat. When we talk about aniyut, someone that's of poverty, someone that's poor, we refer to someone like that, poor in the mind. But it doesn't mean in a bad way. It means in a beautiful way in this context. That what? I'm so a poor man who's someone who doesn't think. But on Pesach, I flip this concept over. Because on Pesach, I'm so strong, I say to myself that I want to be poor. I got to get out of Mitzrayim. I have to stop thinking. I have to stop being rich in thoughts, and I have to start being poor in thoughts and get rid of thoughts so I could actually get out of there. So I might be poor, but it's actually the simon of someone that has real, real koach, utmost strength. And the sign of having a strong mind is when I could actually say to myself, right now, stop thinking. There's no time for thinking. The more I think, the more I'm stuck here. My mind, matzah tells me, whenever I eat matzah, my mind says, just let go. Let go, it's okay. Deep down inside, you know what to do. Deep down inside, you know who your Abba Shel HaShemayim is. The bread, the Zohar HaKadosh says, tells me, on a dark level, who my Abba and Ima are in this world. But the matzah tells me who my Abba and Ima are in Shemayim, by virtue of not thinking about it too much. Now, this teaching is so threatening to men because it's the opposite of the way we generally operate. It's the exact opposite. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot, shebechol halaylot anu choshvim vechoshvim 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 halayla hazeh halayla hazeh kulanu aniyim. Aniyim badat, aniyim badat, mitoch chira chofshit. But from choosing, I choose to stop thinking. And this kind of mind that chooses to stop thinking is actually a very strong mind. It's a mind of a free person. It's a moach, it's mochin de gadlut. It's a moach of a ben chorin. It gives me emuna, deep emuna, to stop thinking and using all the legitimate excuses that kept me in my Mitzrayim. And he gives me koyach to be free. I want to tell you, Chevra, Chaim is also a very free person, Chaim Kramer. Any of you that know him, have the privilege of knowing him, what a free mind. Free mind, literally. And this is a person who knows kol ha-Torah kula, and those of us that have traveled with him can totally attest to it. So he had that really knows the whole thing. We've been with him in different situations where it'll be the end of dinner and he'll pull out a Gemara and say, I just have to do a Siyum. just like, on what? Oh, Zubachim or something. And any question we have about almost anything, we know that there's a ketovet, there's an address. And the schus of us choosing tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, choosing to work on this concept, to daven over this concept, to write a tefillah over this concept, which is such a beautiful thing to do, to write a prayer over this concept of choosing to not think, of choosing to actually have a strong mind, a moach of a ben chorin. I give you and me a brach and all of us. We have the teachers in our generation that have showed us this. And I'm doing more tshuva because I started this last week. I want to continue again. We also had Reb Sholem Brot of Hashem. Talk about a free person. Yes, he struggled with what he struggled with. But we've had free people in our midst to show us what it means to have Mochin Degadlus, what it means to have a non-contracted mind, but an expansive mind. But you need someone to believe in you that you can do it. You need someone to believe in you that you can choose to actually shut it off, to shut off the chatterbox, and you can go there. Because again, like Rabbi Riskin told us when we first started learning for Smicha, Rabbi Riskin told us, when it comes to self-justification, every person in the world is the most intelligent Talmid Chacham that ever existed. Like when it comes to justifying why not to get out of my Mitzrayim, I am so cool, I have all the answers in the world. Why shouldn't I stop smoking? I can give you all the reasons in the world. Why shouldn't I stop drinking? All of them. Why should I keep, this is a big one, you ready for this one? This is a big one. Why should I keep my phone by my bed when I go to sleep? I'll give you a million reasons why. And they're all holy excuses. My alarm, what if Iran starts to strike in the middle of the night? But anything in the world, right? And you may be right, but you're still in Egypt. So we're on our way out, chevra. Spouses, give each other koach. Give each other koach for this stuff. For any place that really keeps us in that Mitzrayim energy, whatever it may be, we should all be blessed with what we say in Maariv, Chirut Olam, really getting out of Mitzrayim and not going back. So this is a nigun that, the old Reb Shlomo Nigun, and we sang it this morning in Shir for about, I don't know, like 20 minutes. The Nigun of Freedom.
Da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da can't stop singing this thing, so we're gonna keep on singing it. Chevra Emuna, Simcha, Bitachon, we can do this. We are doing it. Da 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 Thank you so much. Let's keep on winning.